Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of 2025 for Talking Games with Kelly and Andrew. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kelly.
We did it. We survived the New Year's. Isn't it crazy how on New Year's Eve, 2024, the drones carried us into space and we had to swim back down with a lack of atmosphere? Wasn't that crazy when that happened?
Yes.
I'm just taking a long shot because if it happens, then I predicted it.
That's really scary.
Well, it didn't happen yet, Kelly. It's December 22nd when we're recording this.
I'm still scared.
Well, Kelly, it didn't happen. This is just a prediction.
That doesn't make me feel better.
Oh.
Well,
this is episode 150 of this show, Kelly.
Wow.
That's almost disturbing.
What?
That's just so much. That's crazy. I'm so proud of us.
It is quite a bit.
I'm going to wait till the end of the episode. Behind the curtain, we recorded the Game of the Year episode and then both episodes of the 2025 preview in one sitting, December 22nd, like I just said. And since this is our last recording session of the year and we're not going to do this for like a month, I have like a bunch of emotions pent up ready to release, but I was like, I'll wait till the end of this session. So for you, it's been weeks and you probably like forgot about it, rightfully so. But I've been just sitting here for hours just being like, ooh, I want to thank the audience and cry. But I've been waiting till the end of this episode. So if you happen to miss our last episode or you're new, we're jumping into the middle of our list. So we already got through most of the games in alphabetical order up to D, which sounds like we're less than halfway, but we also did a bunch of games that had release dates. And then after we talk about the game, we give it a little release date guess. So if you're okay with it, Kelly, you ready to jump right back in?
Let's.
Doom, the Dark Ages, is coming from id Software this year. This is like the Doom style, but set in the Dark Ages, as you may have been able to deduce.
To dooms.
Hey, you started this. I'm real excited for this one. I'm really, really excited for this one. Have you played Doom games?
No.
You're not really a high-octane shooter kind of lady, are you?
I need the Doom guy to have... I need, like, if I'm going to be playing as a man, I need him to be like Arthur Morgan, where I have a really strong instinct to want to take care of him. I want to be able to give the Doom guy baths. I want to feed him.
I know this is like a Red Dead Redemption 2 thing, but like that is a crazy thing to say.
That I want to give the Doom guy baths?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like bubble baths? So he can be
clean. The kind of bath does not change the crazy.
Listen.
I'm listening.
It's complicated, okay?
It doesn't sound complicated. It sounds really straightforward, actually.
No, you're right. I'm not, you know, high octane, like, shoot, kill, you know. I need a little bit more.
I love that high octane action focus, and this game looks so polished and so fun. I'm thrilled to play this on Game Pass. Next on our list, Elden Ring Nightreign. This is a big one, I'd say. I'm really excited about it, but with the level of caution because we don't know how fun it will be for single players. I think the gameplay formula looks really cool, and like the more action focused. Higher action focus seems like something I would really enjoy, especially the higher speed. But even though I'm all in on this roguelite idea, not knowing if I can play alone is my biggest level of like caution. That's why I'm a little bit cautious about this one.
Yeah, I feel similarly. I first want to say, when I ask if you're proud of me, we've talked about Elden Ring so much the past couple episodes, and I didn't once call it Smelden Ring.
Oh, I am proud of you.
Thank you.
Do it right now.
No.
Okay.
I shan't.
Well, you kind of did by saying it.
But... I'm turning a new leaf.
Are you excited for this game, though?
I feel excited to maybe learn some new things about the story or the universe or the characters. I don't necessarily know how I feel about the gameplay. Like, I don't really love roguelikes. I don't love dying and then starting over. And I don't know. The only one that really ever sold me was Hades, but that's because there were a lot of other elements going on with that.
So do you think maybe this game will have those elements since you love the Elden Ring world?
I'm gonna give it my best effort.
Okay. That's fair.
I want to be able to play as my Tarnished again because I really like my Tarnished. Her name was Pumpkin. But I don't know if that's possible. I feel like you'll probably have to create a new character. So.
Yeah, I don't think it's super likely that stuff's going to carry over. Because how would that work? Because the gameplay is so fundamentally different.
Right. So. Plus, I think the hinge of this game is that, you know, if you're playing with the three people that they give you, then you're like one of you, you're optimized with each other.
Yeah.
In mind. So.
Next on our list is one that I know is a big deal for both of us. We actually talked about it a tiny bit last week, and that's Ghost of Yotei. This is the sequel to Ghost of Tsushima from PlayStation, from Sucker Punch. I'm so excited. I'm so excited, genuinely.
Me too. Me too.
I don't even, like, it's just, it looks so good. The first game was, like, not perfect, but it was just so satisfying and fun to play. And that's what matters to me in a lot of ways. And I think this game probably could learn from the first game and kind of polish out its faults. And, like, I don't really remember the story of the first game very much, but just from the get, I think this one might have a more compelling story. And I'm not just saying that because it's a female protagonist, but that does help because I think that adds a layer, especially with the setting that they're going with and the time of history that they're focused on. So, and the gameplay changes seem really cool as well, like the new weapons and stuff that they showcased.
Yes.
Kelly's Sorry. Cat was on her lap, and the cat tried to jump off her lap, but it appears that her leg was wrapped around the headphone cord. So Kelly's headphone was just like on the side of her head. Could you hear that? The smacking?
I could hear you, yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure they could hear me.
I think it was a little bit more subtle with you, so.
I apologize, either way.
Anyway, Ghost of Yotei, what are your thoughts?
I'm really excited. I agree with your points. I did not think Ghost of Tsushima was perfect, but I feel like it was a really good game, just technically speaking. There were story things that I think would have been more interesting to explore, but I feel like it was a little bit shallow in that regard, which I'm hoping maybe Ghost of Yotei improves on.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, I do feel a little bit more compelled because the main character is a woman. I think that to me is like I said, sometimes I have a hard time playing a game as a man unless I can give him a bath, which is kind of funny that I say that because
you can give him a bath.
You can give him a bath, which is why I really enjoyed playing as Jin because I got to take care of him. But also that sounds really weird. Not like take care of him. I mean, like
it's, you say that like that's the only weird thing you've said.
There's like a Tamagotchi element to it, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
It's like, let me dress him in this outfit with this headband, and he has to take a bath, and then we're going to do a haiku together. It's going to be really fun. It's actually funny that I was talking about a couple episodes ago about how I couldn't get into The Witcher because Geralt was a man, and I felt like he was like really like, I'm the ultimate man. But him taking a bath is actually really a key iconic scene in The Witcher 3. So.
Where is this like bath thing coming from?
I think it's just my benchmark for like, I don't even know. Like I loved Arthur and I loved playing as Arthur. And I think that's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
So.
Well, there's a very good chance to be able to take a bath in the next game, which is undoubtedly without debate, the biggest game coming out next year from a sheer number perspective, from a sheer cultural standpoint. That's Grand Theft Auto 6. Oh, wait. When do you think Ghost of Yotei is going to come out? I'm going to guess.
I'm going to say May.
Oh. Okay. I hope you're right.
A little different.
I was going to say August. So.
I think yours makes more sense. I do think it is a later in the year game, but I feel like I've really backloaded. I don't think that's a word. I think I've really put most of my predictions in the back half of 2025. So I want to be more like, I want to spread them out a little bit more.
And I hope you're right. I really do.
Yeah, thanks. Me too.
Anyway, GTA 6. Gonna be the biggest game of the year if it makes it this year. It's just a cultural touch point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the thing for me is, like, I didn't like GTA 5 very much when I played it pretty recently for the first time. I think it's fun to drive around and do nonsense. That's fun for me. But, like, I didn't have, like, I didn't think the story was fun, and I didn't think the gameplay was polished enough to enjoy. But I loved Red Dead 2, and this game appears to have, like, a more grounded story. If it has that same level that Red Dead 2 did, I'm very excited for this game. And I think it might. I really do think it might.
Another woman.
And that also, it's a woman.
When will developers think of the men?
Well, there's also, you play as a woman and a man.
No, but if you play as a woman at all, it's just problem. Not right.
Yeah, sorry. But what if you could give both the woman and the man a bath?
Now you're speaking. Make you happy? Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, now everything up from the rest of this list is going to be the Kelly bath scale about whether you can take a bath with the character. You started this. You opened this can of worms.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm excited with some cautious caution, because Rockstar games don't always hit for me, even though I know it's going to be the biggest game like ever.
I'm excited. Literally. Yeah, I'm excited. I think that, you know, it's just such a big. It's just such a big game.
Yeah.
There is something that you will like in it, you know, and that's what I'm excited for. Like that, I feel the same the way about Grand Theft Auto 5 that you do. When I played it, like back in 2016, when I first got my PS4, and it was already on my PS4 because I bought a pre-owned one and they never removed any of the games.
Nice.
I was like, I don't care about anything that's happening. I'm having fun driving in my car. And following the rules of traffic. Red light, I'll stop. Left turn, I'll wait. I'll yield. I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. So are you...
I'm trying to decide if I'm more excited to play this game or more excited to watch the, like, tectonic shifts in the industry, because this is going to be the biggest video game release of our lifetime so far, I think. Is that a crazy thing to say?
No, I think you're right. I think if you look at the numbers of Grand Theft Auto, like, 5 is still the best-selling game of, like, all time.
Yeah, I looked at the profits the other day. I'm just going to pull it back up so I have the exact number. Do you want to give me a guess of how much it's just GTA 5 in revenue has given?
No, I don't even want to broach that. How much is it?
One video game has made $8.5 billion.
That's crazy.
Yes. It sold over 190 million copies.
Oh my gosh.
It's the second best-selling. What's first?
Skyrim?
No.
What is first?
I'm pulling it up. Number one, Minecraft.
What? Okay. What's number three? What's number four?
PUBG.
What's number five?
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
What's number... Mario Kart 8 Deluxe?
That's not surprising. Every Switch owner has Mario Kart 8.
Not me. That's not true. Okay. I have it.
And then Red Dead 2, and then Terraria, and then Super Mario Bros., and then Overwatch, and then Human Fall Flat, and then The Witcher 3, and then Pokemon Red, and then Animal Crossing New Horizons, and then Wii Fit, and then Mario Kart Wii, and then Super Smash Bros.
I'm also, sorry.
And then Tetris, and then
I'm
Star
sorry.
View,
Human Fall Flat?
And then Wii Sports Resort, and then New Super Mario Bros., and then New Super Mario Bros. Wii, and then Hogwarts Legacy, and then Call of Duty, and then Diablo 3, and then Cyberpunk, and then Pokemon Gold, and then Elden Ring, and then Super Mario Odyssey, and then Duck Hunt, and then,
I'm sorry.
Fight, and then Borderlands 2,
can
and
you
then
pause? San Andreas. Hold on. What do you mean Human Fall Flat is like number 7?
Yeah, that one's surprising to me, but...
What?
Maybe it's much bigger. I'm looking up sales. Human Fall Flat sales.
I'm so
more than 50 million copies.
Confused.
How did it sell as much as? Oh,
Why is Overwatch, Human Fall China. Flat, and The Witcher 3, why are they all in one?
When it released in China, it went from about 4 million sales to 30 million sales.
Okay. This list does not make any sense to me. Why is Human Fall Flat, Overwatch, and The Witcher 3, why are they all under the same sales category? Are you looking on Wikipedia?
Yeah.
What is that? Why is 50 million for three games? That doesn't make any sense.
I think it's just a rough estimate.
But why are they... So they all sold 50 million? Is that what they're saying?
I think that's what it means is that they say we have sold over 50 million.
Oh, I see.
It's also not super reliable because like this list says Tetris for 520 million, but like it's like, okay, well, you're combining different games. So... It doesn't matter. GTA 6 is going to be the biggest video game release of our life so far, I think. It's going to be enormous. If you don't own a PlayStation 5 and you're a little bit interested in this game, I'd say buy it a few months before because it's probably going to, like, I wouldn't be surprised if PS5s sold out because so many people wanted to get it to play this new game when it comes out. That's my opinion.
Mm.
Let us pivot back to video games now and not just sales numbers with the next game on our list, Judas. I'm going to just up front say I don't think it's going to make 2025, but I am very excited for it. I think this game will get delayed to 26 for sure, in my opinion.
I agree. This is the Ken Levine one.
Yes, the new Bioshock functionally.
He's such a... Yeah, I think this will get delayed.
It looks great. Sure. I really am excited to play it, but I don't think we're going to play it this year.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen pure gameplay yet. All of the trailers are cinematic trailers that are framed to look like gameplay.
Yeah.
It's a little strange.
Yeah. But
I'm excited. I am excited.
Yeah.
Are you not excited?
No, I'm excited. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you skeptical about Little Nightmares 3?
No. Yes. No.
It's made by Supermassive.
I feel like I haven't really thought about this game enough to be skeptical of it.
I'm way more excited for Reanimal, which is the new game from Tarsier, who made the first two.
Yes.
I'm way more excited for that personally, but I still am excited for this. I do think it looks good, so...
Yeah.
It's not like going to be in my top five list by any stretch, but I am excited to play it. And I think they'll release it in October, early October, you know, Halloween.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Or like September.
So, sometimes they like to do summer with this kind of like spooky stuff, but I think it needs more time in the oven probably. So it'll probably be October.
Yeah.
Lost Soul aside, this is one I don't even... Do you know about this game, Kelly?
No.
It is a Chinese developed game that was announced almost 10 years ago.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is inspired by the Final Fantasy 15 reveal trailers. And Bing Yang, the guy who made this game, is like, I can do that, but better. And he's been working on this game for 10 years. It got it joined the PlayStation Hero Project, which is like this Chinese, and it's like an endeavor to make Chinese developed games under the PlayStation moniker. This game finally got a release date actually a couple weeks ago as time of recording. And it's coming out next year, 2025. It is an action game. I'm really keen to play it, but I think it's going to be 2026 because this game has been in development for 10 years. And it's like, it's just too good to be true. Nah, it's going to come out in November. I changed my mind. It's coming out in November.
Wow. Okay. I like that. November.
It looks so good though. Like a part of me is like, is this game real? Is that real? Is it real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm referencing?
No.
Is it real? No?
Mm-mm.
I'm referencing a vine. Now I feel silly. You know the one where the woman's like walking and there's like a little fake rat on
the... Oh, yeah. And she goes, hustle.
She goes, hustle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then another woman puts the glasses down. She says, is it real? I love that vine. Anyway, why does he look...
I just don't like the way... The protagonist looks...
He looks like what Noctis kind of used to look like.
Yes, that's why I don't like it. I don't think the character
models are incredible, but the gameplay looks really fun.
Yeah, it does. I don't think Noctis looks bad necessarily. I just think he looks way better in like the future when he's got like facial hair and he's like old and grizzled. And
you could put him in a bath.
All right. Here's one character who probably has never bathed, not once. another game that got a 2025 window.
Well, technically, I feel like we should say technically, as of recording on December 22nd, officially, this game is still coming out in 2024.
Right.
This game never got delayed. So when we're recording this in 2024, in December,
they're shadow dropping it Christmas Eve.
That would be so embarrassing if we're talking about this game and it exists already. But they won't. It has physical copies, so we need to know in advance, you know?
Yeah. Metal Gear Solid Delta is the game that we're talking about, which is the remake, of Metal Gear Solid 3. Snake Eater. Snake Eater!
That was so pretty.
Thank you. I'm thinking this will be like April.
Yeah, I don't know why it hasn't come out yet. So April would make a lot of sense. I'll agree with you there. I'm excited to play it, but I need to play Metal Gear Solid 2 because the whole thing about last year is I wanted to get into the series, and I played the first game. I loved it. I played Twin Snakes. I didn't love it, but I didn't think I'd love it. And then I started 2, but got distracted. So I need to get back to 2 so I can be ready for this game.
I can't wait for Ocelot to be like, meow. And people be like, why did he just meow at me? Be
like, that's really photorealistic graphics now.
Like, that's just what he does. That's just a part of the game.
I'm excited for the weird stuff.
Yeah.
To be in like this really high fidelity graphical style.
I know. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with like the one boss. What's his name?
The Maybe. End.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you can turn off the game like, for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you have to like wait him out. Well, you don't have to. Probably, you can wait him
that'll
out.
That'll probably still be in it, but you probably can't cheat it because there's the internet now. Like, you can just turn off your PlayStation, change the date, but you probably can't do that now.
Yeah.
I'll try to fight him fair and square, but.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they remake it. Another game. It's not a good transition at all. Something else slated for 2025 is Metroid Prime 4 Beyond, which was teased. We didn't really get anything, right?
No, we had a gameplay trailer.
Oh, did we?
I didn't link it because I realized while we were making, like, while we were recording that this game wasn't in there, so I put it in. But we got that gameplay trailer in, like, June, I think. Maybe September.
I think it's going to be a summer game. That's all I got. No other thoughts.
I'm going to say... And this is a very big prediction that goes beyond this game. I think it's going to come out mid-May when the Switch 2 comes out, which I'm predicting to be mid-May. We could talk about that more later, but I'm excited by the prospect of this game, but the Metroid Prime series doesn't exactly scratch any of my itches to be weird about it. So I'm a little worried that it won't be for me, but I'm excited it's happening. I'm excited for Metroid Prime fans that they're finally getting it. And I hope it ends up coming sooner rather than later. And it's coming to Switch 1, but I think it's also coming to Switch 2, you know, with the release window.
I think that makes sense. I think that I want to catch them all. Digimon, digital monsters, digital are the champions. Remember that song?
No, I didn't watch Digimon.
You didn't watch Digimon?
No, I didn't watch Digimon.
I don't even know what to say. I'm at a loss. earlier this year, we got an announcement trailer for Pokemon Legends Zeta A, which is the next entry in the Pokemon Legends series.
I think it's pronounced Za.
Za. I had some pizza earlier. Sorry.
I have a pizza. I think Za has finished recording.
I think Za has two meanings. I had pizza.
I had pizza.
So, yeah.
What were your thoughts on Legends Arceus?
I played it. I'd never finished it. I was okay. I mean, I didn't I liked it. I think it's cool that they are doing something different with the series, with the IP. I just don't know if it's my thing. But I did like, you know, the whole... I think what I didn't like was the whole time travel... Not time travel thing, but where it was like, I'm... Where am I? Like, I think it would have been cooler if we were a character that already existed in that time period.
Yeah. I'm curious how they'll hand out in this, because we don't even know where... Like, it kind of implied it might take place at the, like, formation of the city, but it might also take place at the, like, in the distant future. So there might be some time traveling, which sounds like what you don't want, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I will definitely play this.
I'm over the moon for it, genuinely, because Legends Arceus was the most fun I had with a Pokemon game in years. I love the Legends formula. I think they really, really killed it.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if they're going to take some, like... I feel like there was this weird thing with Scarlet and Violet, where it was, like, most of the game was pretty unremarkable. And then there was, like, one chunk of the game that was just like, whoa, what is going on? What just happened? When you go to Area Zero.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to take some of the, like, story beats from that and, like, try and replicate them here in a sense that where it's, like, a little bit deeper than just, what are we going to do now? You know, I feel like so much of Pokemon is just like, and now we go here and this happens. And now we go here. Like, there's definitely darker themes. Feels like they were a lot more prevalent in the older games, but not to be a boomer. Like,
I think, like, Legends Arceus didn't have the most interesting themes in the world, but the gameplay loop was so, so, so good for me. Like, I loved it so deeply, whereas Scarlet and Violet didn't have the story or the gameplay loop so much. So I'm hopeful that this game maybe could have both, but as long as it has the gameplay loop, I am over the moon for it. Like, I will consume this game very aggressively and quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested. Maybe I'll...
I'm gonna say it's going to be a holiday game because Pokemon.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, late October, probably.
Yeah. Arceus came out in January, right?
Yeah, that Arceus was a little bit... Because it came out the same year as Scarlet Violet. So Scarlet Violet came out in November after Arceus came out in January.
Yeah. So,
and obviously this can't come out in January because we would know by now. Also, I assume it's on Switch 2 and Switch 1. So.
And Switch 3.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
While we're on it, another Switch game. Professor Layton and the New World of Steam. I don't know what they're talking about. I've been on Steam for like 15 years.
I wish I could hang up this call right now.
Sorry. That was really stupid. This was announced a couple weeks ago.
Was that announced like a couple years or a year ago or something? I don't know.
We got a trailer a couple weeks ago.
We actually saw the game.
Yeah. So 2025, coming to the Switch. It's a Professor Layton game. A new Professor Layton game.
Do you play these games?
I do not.
Why did I think you played these games?
Probably because they look like the type of game that I would play.
Yeah, because I don't care.
Oh.
So when I put it in here, I thought it was something that was for you. And I'm realizing now that was wrong.
That's okay. I've always felt kind of emotionally connected to Professor Layton. I've always felt that he would be a good father.
And probably fun to bathe. This is our 150th episode, and we have talked about giving video game characters baths so much. I mean, mostly me, but you did start it.
You say one thing.
You opened the can of worms, but then I filled the proverbial bathtub with worms.
That is so disgusting. I wish you wouldn't have said that.
Okay, well, I'll forget it happened.
This seems like maybe like a springtime game. I don't know. Maybe May. Wink, yeah. Wink. Wink, wink. Wink, wink. May. May, May. May. Another game that is technically supposed to come out in 2025 is Replaced, which is the sort of 3D, 2.5D, sorry, is what they call it. 2.5D game that has been teased for like a couple years now.
I was going to say this was supposed to come out in like 23 and 24.
Yeah. I don't think it will get delayed again out of 2025.
Yeah, I think it's going to be late. I feel like it's going to be October of 25.
Yeah. I mean, this game looks really cool.
It looks so cool.
I just don't. It's really taking its time, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just like the delays are kind of upsetting.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think it will definitely be later in the year if it's in 2025 still, which I feel like it's not going to move out of the year, but it might move out of a month, you know?
I'm excited for it. I think it looks incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
Kelly, that's every video game that has been that we have anything to say about that's announced for 2025 so far. But.
Hold your horses.
There's hold one
your,
thing.
Hold your torrents.
Oh, Elden Ring.
Smelden Ring.
Okay. Well, you said you weren't going to.
No, I forgot about my new leaf.
I feel like we should have a couple minute discussion about the Switch 2. I want to hear. Here's what I want to hear predicted, Kelly. Release day.
Oh, my God.
Or release window. You can give me a month and time.
Yeah, that's funny.
Launch games or launch year games and the name of the thing.
Okay.
So when do you think this is coming out? I already gave my prediction during Metroid Prime. I think it's coming out in May.
I think it'll be late April.
Okay.
I think it will be late April. I think there will be a new Mario game.
Yeah, 3D Mario on launch day.
I think there will be a new Fire Emblem game this year.
Okay. Like holiday?
Yeah. And I think it's going to not be, I think it's going to be more of a mainline entry rather than like an Engage style. Like, look at all these characters from other Fire Emblems. I think it's going to be a new story. I think they're going to revisit this sort of Three Houses style of like different vibe.
I think it'll be something totally new, yeah. But probably a little bit closer to Three Houses than Engage.
Yeah.
If it has the color palette of Engage, the art style of Three Houses, and the gameplay loop of Three Houses. I think Three Houses. Okay. The actual moment-to-moment combat in Engage was better, in my opinion.
Yes.
Color palette in Engage is better because Three Houses I think has a more less obtrusive art style. I like it better and I like the character designs and stuff better, but it is a very drab game. There's a lot of brown,
yeah,
a lot of gray, and I think putting splashes of color in the world, I don't want the characters to look like Listerine. Is that what it? No, Colgate. Sorry.
Colgate.
I don't want the characters to have crazy things like that, but the world doesn't need to be so brown.
Yeah.
Everybody's outfits are boring, you know?
Yes.
Like they're all wearing the same thing.
I agree with that.
Like it's boring.
I honestly think, and I'm not, and I don't want to yuck your yum. I don't think that's what I'm doing anyway. I think that even though the story is kind of a failure in many ways, I think that the game that you're kind of describing with new gameplay is Fates.
But I want the Three Houses like ethos.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like Fates had that color palette.
Yeah, but I like Fates. If you
Fates
took
had
like,
good character design, it just didn't have a good story.
I liked Fates' character designs, besides yes. like one character who I think has a little bit of a silly design.
Who? Oh.
There's just some endowments that don't need to be in your face, I think. Okay. Well, anyway, back to Switch 2. I feel like I have the thread is being lost.
No, you're good.
I fully agree that 3D Mario on launch day probably needs to happen. I don't know what else they could launch with because they can't launch. There's not going to be a Zelda.
No.
Or if there is a Zelda, like maybe a port or a remake. I don't think it's super likely that there will be a new 3D. I don't think it's possible for there to be a new 3D Zelda. So I think maybe they probably want Zelda to appear. So it'll probably be something different. Maybe a Warriors game. Maybe a remake of a different Game Boy game. Maybe a port of Wind Waker. Something like that.
Has Wind Waker been ported yet?
No.
It didn't come to Wii U. That was just Twilight Princess. No, it's Princess.
On Wii U.
Oh.
Twilight Princess and Wind Waker on Wii U, but since they're locked on Wii U, I consider them eligible for ports. I don't think that they should charge $60 for that, but they will. Just hopefully not 70, but we'll see. That's another discussion.
I would love to play Twilight Princess again.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. I think 60 or 70 would be fair if they put both of them on there in one box.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they'll do that because they could release them both separately with the same level of fanfare, so why put them together?
Right.
But anyway, I think, yeah, there will probably be a Zelda, but it will not be a mainline Zelda by any stretch. Plus, we just got Echoes of Wisdom, so it probably won't be something new. It'll probably be a spinoff or a remake, would be my guess. Or a port. A spinoff, a remake, or a port, but I think Zelda will appear because it's the first year of Switch. I think I'm not disagreeing that Fire Emblem is possible. However, I think my big assumption for holiday is Mario Kart 9. I think they're going to launch with Mario 3D, 3D Mario, and I think they're going to have holiday Mario Kart 9. Because they can't do Mario Kart 8 again because Switch 2 is backwards compatible. So, you know,
Do you think they'll do like a Mario Kart 8 like expansion? Because I feel like they just got done adding all the courses
to Mario Kart 8. I don't think they'll do another. I feel like they'll go 9 and they'll like scale it back and do like all new stuff, which I'm okay with. I think Mario Kart 8 is a little bit overdone. Like there's too much content, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, especially because like I think the expansion pass is very middling. Like I think it is the difference in quality between the base game and the expansion pass is vast.
Yeah.
Visually and design wise. So I think I'd prefer 9 have only new stuff.
I feel like they're going to treat 8 like sort of a living thing where they, since it's backwards compatible or whatever, they do like a re-release of 8 and like rebrand it something else, have all the same tracks, and then they add like a couple more cups to 9 with brand new tracks. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Not 9, but whatever 8's evolved form is. So I think they would do a 9, but not in like such a strict definition of like brand new Mario Kart. No, none of the old tracks, brand new tracks all over. That's just my
thoughts. I think you and I are just viewing it differently because I think they're going to start fresh. Yeah. I mean, they'll bring back old tracks because typically it's like 4 or 5 cups that are new tracks and then 4 or 5 cups that are old tracks remade and reimagined. I still think that's very possible, but I think they're going to start fresh. I want them to. I think it'd be beneficial. I think adding maybe a new gameplay gimmick of some sort, like the anti-gravity gimmick was so cool in Mario Kart 8. I think they could come up with something new for sure.
What about Smash? Do you think they'll do a new Smash?
I think
not this year, not in the first year, but maybe.
I think 2026, and I think the most likely thing is Ultimate port with new content, which would be fine. Ultimate's like perfect. If they can re-get the licenses for all those characters, I think that would be the best for them. But if they can't get them, I think they'll do the same thing I'm describing with 9. Mario Kart 9, I should say. I think if they can't get all of the licenses, I think they would be like, okay, we're making a new one, but like we're going fresh. New movesets for all the old characters. So like Mario, new moveset. Donkey Kong, new moveset. Link, new moveset, which sounds really cool to me. And then scale back the cast quite a lot. Still, obviously, they get so much hype out of new characters and stuff, so they'd still do that. But I think they'd cut the roster in half at least. Because right now there's like almost 100 characters. And if they can't get those licenses back, you can't make 100 new characters at launch.
They would add Fortnite John. And
see, if they do Ultimate port, I think, yeah, that's very possible.
And they do Johnny Silverhand from Cyberpunk. And they do Amaterasu from Okami, and they do Arthur Morgan
okay
in the bathtub.
you were mad at me for talking about the bathtub, but you brought it back.
I'm just trying to keep us connected and cohesive.
Anyway, 3D Mario launch, Mario Kart 9, end of year, holiday big game. And I think there will be a couple other games between those two things, because I think the first year will probably be pretty loaded up. Fire Emblem is a very good guess. Kirby's a very good guess. I think there's a lot of possible IPs making their appearance in that first year. But I think the first and second year will probably be pretty packed.
Yeah.
For the Switch, too.
Yeah.
So we both said dates. We both said some games. Before we say the title, price. I used to think $350, but I'm leaning towards $400.
I'm leaning towards $500.
I think it's possible, but like the chipset is still old. Like it's like PS4, PS4 Pro-ish.
I think I'm just taking into account that consoles just get more and more expensive, and
yeah,
things are just more expensive now than they were when the Switch came out.
I feel like when I say 400, I also think there might be a $450 SKU that's like higher storage or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't done that in a while. They didn't, like, they used to do that. Well, I shouldn't say they used it. They did that with the Wii U.
Where you paid more for more storage?
Yeah, there was the regular and then the deluxe bundle. But I almost feel
couldn't you make that argument for this? Couldn't you also make that argument for the Switch though? Like when you get your original Switch, you don't have that extra SD card or whatever. You have to buy that separate, and that's more storage.
Yeah, I'm realizing it's not a good idea, because also it's a micro SD card. Like you could just buy one of those. You don't need to pay for a SKU that's higher storage. So no, yeah. I have taken back my own prediction. I think it's 400. Okay. I hope. I hope it's 300. That'd be nice, but.
Yeah, it would be nice.
The Switch 1 still sells for $300, so.
Yeah, it's also, 6 years old, 8 years old.
What's it called, Kelly?
20 years old, 30 years old.
Kelly, what's the Switch 2 called?
I really have no idea.
This one's just for fun. Like, obviously, we can't predict this one, but give me a fun, what do you think it's going to be called?
The Wii U 2.
Wow.
It's inspired, I know. I actually really, I could not tell you. I mean, we've been calling it Switch 2 for so long, I feel like they should just call it Switch 2.
I think they should. I don't think they will. I think they should call it Switch Beyond.
Wow. It's probably going to be something like really weird. It's probably going to be like Tango or like...
They have to know.
Rain cloud or like something really like, what is that word even doing there?
They have to know how important the name is, though, I hope. So like, hopefully they get something clear and concise, even if it's not the number two.
I just think they
like
don't.
Maybe, I mean, a lot of people love to fall back on the Super Switch, and that would work. It's a little like, it's a little played out, but it would work. It's clear what it is. Okay, it's the Super Switch.
Maybe the Switch Cube. The Dream Switch. The Switch.
So failed consoles? Switch
U? The Switchbox 360. The Super Switch system.
Okay. Here's what I'm thinking. Do you want to list our top five most anticipated games of 2025 after going through all of them?
Yeah. I like how you cut me off because... Yeah. I was
going to go bad places, I know.
Just kidding. It was escalating.
Do you want to go first since I went first for game of the year?
Yes. So I will go
start
first.
Five, you do five, I do five, you do four. Yeah.
My number five most anticipated game of 2025 is GTA 6, Grand Theft Auto 6. So Thieving Cars 6. The sixth edition of Grand Theft Auto.
I'm cautious because I have not enjoyed Grand Theft Auto games story-wise in the past, but I think that this game, from what we've seen, looks like it's learned from, it's kind of like a little bit more similar to Red Dead Redemption 2 than it is to GTA 5 for the story. So I'm really excited. I think it could be a really cool story, and obviously the game will be fun. Like, driving around doing silly things is always fun, but hopefully the story is also really fun to get through.
Yes. My number four. I'm actually going to put two. I'm a cheater. I'm sorry.
Do it.
I'm excited for them equally. So I originally put Big Walk here because I'm excited to be a kookaburra sitting in the old gum tree. But I'm also excited to be exploring with friends if I have any. But I'm also very excited for Lost Records.
Bloomin' Rage.
Yeah. I almost called it Stolen Records.
Who's wrong?
What's your fourth most anticipated game, Andrew?
Clair Obscur, Expedition 33. I'm still a little cautious, but I really, really am excited to play this game. I think the visual style is awesome, and a new JRPG-influenced game in this style is really unique and really unusual, and I want to play it. I'm really cool. I think it's going to be really cool. I just said I'm really cool, didn't I?
I'm really cool. I'm a cool guy. My number three most anticipated game is Elden Ring Nightreign.
Wow.
I put it pretty high because, like I said, I am excited for lore stuff, characters, et cetera, et cetera. And there were some interesting things in the trailer that I noticed. A character that is from Dark Souls 3 made an appearance, and I thought that was kind of interesting because are we doing multiverses now? Because where's LeBron James? What's your number three?
I feel like if this game hits for you, it's going to hit really hard. So
I fear it's true.
Me as well. It's not on my list, but I'm optimistic about it. Mm. Pokemon Legends ZA. I already talked a bunch about how excited I am to play this game. I loved Pokemon Legends Arceus, and I'm excited for more of it. If they capture that gameplay formula equally as well, I'm all in. All in.
Very nice. Very nice. My number two was really hard. I'm kind of torn between my first and my second, but Excuse me.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Oh, no, you're burping. Okay. Don't worry, I'll leave that in.
Oh, thanks. I put Avowed as my number two because I am really looking forward to this game. For me personally, when I picked between one and two, one was more about gameplay and two was more about story. So, or world, that sort of thing. So I'm sort of in between. Either of them could be flipped and be fine, though. I would agree with either of them being flipped. But I put Avowed for number two.
My number two is cheating, but Kelly already cheated once on this list, so I think it's okay. I wrote Switch 2 launch game. I'm assuming it's 3D Mario, but I'm just so excited to see the Switch 2, to see what the games are going to be, that I'm counting it on my list. And if it is a 3D Mario, I love those games so much that it's on the list, even if we don't know it exists yet, which is hilarious.
What if it's something like really out of left field? Like, what if it's like a new
IP?
What if it's like Earthbound? What if it's like Mother 3 finally translated? What if it's like Mother 4 or something like really random? What if it's like a new Star Fox game? What if it's just like super out of left field?
You're going crazy. I think for Switch, for the launch, it has to be Mario. For a launch, you have to have Mario or Zelda, and they don't have Zelda.
Yeah.
And it's been so long. But I think the things you just said as a first year like lineup are not crazy far-fetched.
I think Mother 4 is a little far-fetched.
Oh, Mother 4, yes. The Mother 3 port, though. Mother 3 port, I could see.
That would be crazy. That would be wild. Well, we've come to my number one most anticipated game. Like I said, it could be between this game or Avowed. I'm kind of two minds here, but I put Ghost of Yote as my first because, like I said, I really enjoyed the gameplay of Ghost of Tsushima and the general like style of the game. For just to be like totally transparent, I feel like these games, in my opinion, to me, from my experience, this game, I should say, had been style over substance. I felt that, like I said, the story was not really, I wasn't super invested. And you even said yourself, like, you don't really remember it. So I'm hopeful that maybe that changes with the second one. But even if it doesn't, I know that I will appreciate the world. I will appreciate the depiction. I will appreciate the gameplay. And I will appreciate that style that I was talking about. So I put that as my number one.
I also put Ghost of Yote as my most anticipated game of the year. And I think, yeah, for me, it's just like The gameplay is just, the game is just so satisfying. The first game was, even if it has its flaws, it was just so satisfying to play start to finish. And I feel like they'll make it even better this time. And improving some of those elements is going to make me just enjoy it so much more. I do want to be clear, if a new Mario game had been announced, it would be number one without competition. But I feel like it'd be silly to put number one as a game that we don't know yet. But because of that, Ghost of Yote is getting the spot. I think it's funny that both of us have Ghost of Yote at our top, but like with a bunch of caveats.
Yes.
Poor game.
Yes.
I say poor game. It's getting our $70 on release day. It's not a poor game. It'll be happy.
I'm sure it will sell very well.
Kelly.
Yes.
We just finished covering all the games coming out in 2025.
Yippee.
That means we're done.
Yippee.
I'll wait till you're done and then I'll cry a bit.
I'm done. You can start crying. Commence the crying now.
Okay. Commence the crying.
Wow. That was fast.
I just want to thank the audience. This is episode 150. This is our last. This is the first episode of 2026. Five. Wow. Starting off the year strong. This is our first episode of 2025. We're recording this at the end of 2024. Before we take a little break. And this is the 150th episode of Talking Games. I have this little note in my guest room. I have like a cork board on it. And I played this game with somebody in 2021. I think in like September or October. And the game, it was basically like a game where you're getting to know each other. And I wrote on this piece of paper because the prompt was, write a goal that you have in mind right now. Like, what's a goal you have for your life right now? And that, like I said, that was probably around September of 2021. And I wrote on it, do the podcast for the rest of 2021. And we started it in May of 2021. And we just recorded our fourth game of the year and our fourth preview special, and when I wrote that, I meant it. I was like, if we could do 6 months, 7 months of this content, that's awesome. And the thing is, like, there's no financial tie up here. This is just a passion for video games and a love for talking about them with my friend Kelly. Getting it to an audience feels amazing. You know, it's awesome to know that anybody in this world likes to listen to us gab about games. That's awesome. It's basically, all I'm trying to say is that I have this deep-seated appreciation that I can't even put into words. We literally have 150 episodes of this podcast now. So few podcasts make it to that point, you know? I feel like we hit a landmark that so few people who are creating content are able to reach. And we've been so regular and so, you know, consistent and passionate about this. And it just feels good. And it makes me happy and it makes me feel emotional. And I just want to thank the audience for listening to us. It means the world that anybody listens. I want to thank, and this is a little silly, but I want to thank the industry, you know? Obviously, the industry's been a mess for the past couple of years, but there's so many creative minds and there's so many creative souls that are making things that we can enjoy, making things that we can love, that touch us deeply, and that we have the opportunity to talk about in this format. It means so much to me. And of course, most of all, and anybody who's been listening for years is probably like, well, we know where this is going. Thank you, Kelly. Because without you, this doesn't exist. If you weren't here, I wouldn't do this alone. And I wouldn't want to do it with anybody else. When I proposed this in April or May of 2021, it was not like, I want to make a podcast. Who's available? It was, I want to make a video games podcast with Kelly. And it was so specific. And obviously, thank you for doing it. Thank you for saying yes. and I just look forward to more content. I look forward to an exciting 2025. We have so much, like when the Switch 2 and stuff is coming around, when all those exciting games are coming around, I think we have a lot of excitement going into this year. And it means the world to me. And I cannot thank everybody enough, especially you, Kelly.
That's so sweet. I, of course, feel exactly the same. I echo your sentiments. I think it's like, you know, it really speaks to like the level of care, but because, you know, everybody has busy lives. Everybody has busy days. We both work. We both have full-time, you know, situations. And like us both like taking the time to be like, you know what, let's just sit down for a little bit, a couple times a month, and just like talk about stuff that we're passionate about. That's been really special to me. And I feel like, you know, it's been such a joy over the past couple of years, kind of getting into our groove and like actually doing the podcast. Like we talk about it all the time, but like when we first started, it was so, you know, it was really, we were finding our footing. So it's really been a fun journey. And, you know, sort of echoing that sentiment, like toward the audience, like just knowing that you guys take your time out of your day, even if you're driving, listening to whatever, you could be listening to music or an audiobook or another podcast, but you choose to listen to us. And I really appreciate that. And I also super appreciate, you know, like hearing from people who listen. Like, it's just really a joy when I get like a random text from someone and they're like, it was fun when you guys said that. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I didn't even, first, some people, I don't even know you listen. And then I hear it and it's like, oh my God, like people do listen. And like I said, I really appreciate that. I know you also really appreciate that, Andrew. And it's just been a really fun time. And I am so grateful every time we get to record and talk and yap. Love to yap. And you know, it's really interesting because it's really come full circle for me, because it's like, you know, when we started the podcast, it was like such a specific time in my life because I had kind of just started my old job. It was my new job at the time.
Yeah,
I had started that job, and the Mass Effect Legendary Edition had just come out, so BioWare games were kind of at the top of my mind, and I felt like every episode I was mentioning Dragon Age. And it's really come full circle to like be at this moment where it's like Dragon Age came out. Like I actually went through that process on this show, and like you guys all got to see how the clockwork of my brain is, you know, rusty wheels churning along. You guys got to see the yearning that I've felt for the past 10 years. So that was really cool too for me this year. So thank you all for being a part of my journey, because now it's intrinsically tied to this forever. So,
yeah, I feel like it really does feel like we are entering a new era, which is like, feels a little pretentious to say, but like we're entering our fifth calendar year of this.
I know, that's crazy.
Like soon we will have been doing this for 4 full years. That's more than high school and college. Not combined, obviously.
Yeah.
I finished college. I can add 4 + 4. Don't worry. it just means the world. And also, it worked out really well that this is our 150th episode. I just think the sentiments are very strong right now.
Yes.
There's just so much good feeling.
Yeah. It was very serendipitous.
Truly.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this very first episode of 2025. I hope you all had a really great new year and a really great holiday season. And I hope that this year treats you very kindly and everything lands soft. And I hope that you get to continue being part of this journey with us, because it's been really fun. And I don't think either of us want to stop anytime soon. So, and we'll get to talk about more video games. And maybe we'll get to talk about more Dragon Age.
All right. The new era is just Kelly being like, when's the new Dragon Age? When's the new Dragon Age?
Oh, anyway, thanks so much for listening, everybody. I hope you have a really great day, a really great week, a really great month, and a really great year. So I will say
Bye.